19. Read verses 9 through 18. And he, that would be Elijah, came thither into a cave and lodged there. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, to throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only, am left. And they seek my life to take away. He said, That is God, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind went rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, a still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him, that still small voice again, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets. With the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take away. The Lord said unto him, Go on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Again, we come to a very instructive event in the life of Elijah. It's at this point in his life that it is truly revealed that he is a man of like passions as we are. We see him in fear fleeing from Jezebel because she sought his life. It's at this stage that we see him under a juniper tree. We see him in a cave. He's discouraged, despondent. But God in His grace and mercy and goodness would not leave Elijah in that situation. Twice God asks Elijah in verse 9 and verse 13, What doest thou here, Elijah? And both times Elijah responds the same way, verse 10 and verse 14. He tells God that I've been diligent, I've been mindful, of the Lord. The people have not been, but I have been faithful. The people have forsaken you. The people have cast down the altars. People have been ungrateful, thoughtless, but I've been faithful to God. God's people had abandoned the altars of Baal, but of course Elijah had not. Elijah remained faithful to God. In verse 15, he says, And I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And then God instructs Elijah to go to Damascus. And then in verse 18, and this is where we want to take our thought, he informs Elijah that he had yet 7,000. Again, remember, Elijah said, I, only I, and left. He informs Elijah that he had 7,000 that had remained faithful to him. 7,000 individuals that Elijah knew nothing about. He says of these 7,000 there in verse 18, knees which have not bowed to Baal. And every mouth which hath not kissed him, that is Baal. So these 7,000 individuals, in a time when it was widespread, in a time when it was prevalent and popular to bow the knee to Baal, they showed no affinity to do so. They had no affection for Baal. They did not kiss the statues of Baal. These 7,000, in a time of great spiritual unconcern amongst God's people and coldness and apostasy, these 7,000 never bowed the knee to Baal. Never showed any affinity, never showed any affection for Baal worship. We want to speak tonight on God's remnant of unbended knees. 7,000 people who did not bend the knee. We want to consider that, first of all, that God has a remnant. He always has. He has a remnant of faithful ones. And we want to consider briefly the effect that that should have upon us. First of all, consider God's remnant of faithful ones. A remnant, of course, is a small part of the whole. One thing you learn reading through the Bible, throughout history, there is the sad tendency in God's people to turn away from God. We see it all through the Scriptures. But in the midst, we see this also in Scripture. In the midst of recurring apostasy, there's always a remnant. God always has people that remain faithful to Him. Sometimes, very, very, very few in number who have remained faithful to God. Notice in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 8, Ezra 9, verse 8. Now these would have been the ones returning from the captivity. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. To leave us a remnant. God in His grace has left us a remnant. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. And they said unto me, these again are the ones who left the captivity, the remnant that are left of the captivity. There it is again, the remnant. There was a remnant of people. Notice in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. It goes on to say, had God not done that, we should have been as Sodom. We should have been like unto Gomorrah. But God left a remnant. God left a remnant. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set His hand against the second time to recover the remnant of His people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, etc. Chapter 16, verse 14. Now the Lord hath spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of hireling and the glory of Moab, shall be contemned with all the great multitude, and the remnant shall be very small and feeble. We see a remnant as mentioned in Jeremiah, chapter 44 and verse 28. Also in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 6 and verse 8. All through the Bible, we see God has had a remnant. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, we read of the long suffering of God that waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that's a remnant, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. You think of Joshua and Caleb. They were a remnant. Two people. Two people that stood in the midst of apostasy. We think of Christ coming to the earth. John 1 verse 11. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But there were those who did receive him. A remnant of people. 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, Paul says, all they which are in Asia be turned away from them. And then he goes on in verse 16, the next verse, and he mentions the house of Onesiphorus. And he says he remained faithful. Again, a remnant. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, Paul said, I have no man like-minded, except for Timothy. Again, very few. In our text, it was a time when almost everyone who professed to know God had been bewitched and had succumbed to Baal worship. But God had 7,000, unbeknownst to Elijah, 7,000 individuals who did not bow. 7,000 individuals who showed no affection or affinity to Baal. 7,000 individuals. God had a remnant. A remnant that was never taken in by the influence of Baal. I mean, on every hillside there were statues of Baal. There were altars of Baal. Baal worship was everywhere. People in droves were worshiping Baal. But God had 7,000 plus Elijah who never bowed the knee to Baal. You say, well, 7,000 isn't many. No, it isn't. But thank God there were 7,000 who did not bow, who did not kiss the altars of Baal. God had a remnant that remained separate and apart from all the evil that was going on in that day. God still has a remnant today. We see that God had a remnant that were never identified with that which was popular, that which was common for the day. God had a remnant that remained focused upon God. He had a remnant that was firm and steadfast in the resistance of the current of evil that was so prevalent in their times. Since the fall of man, the currents of evil have swept through societies and cultures and nations, but God has always had a remnant that were unaffected by all of those currents that were never carried away by the currents of evil. Ever since the fall of man, there's always been opposing forces to God. There's always been barriers. There's always been obstacles. But God has always had a remnant that could not be stopped by the barriers, could not be stopped by the obstacles. In spite of the programs and agenda of Satan, God has always had a remnant that would escape those agendas and programs and never ever adopt those agendas. The fact is, there's always been people, governments, organizations, movements that have been successful in getting the masses to accept and to fall in line with their sinful, rebellious ways, their abominable philosophies. But God has always had a remnant never influenced by governments, by peoples, by societies, by cultures. He's always had a remnant that remained firm. So what effect should this have upon us? First of all, it ought to fill us with a desire, a longing to be a part of God's remnant. To be a part of a remnant of faithful people. Here we are in the last days. Evil man and seducer shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. A time when the masses and even God's people have been duped and taken in and are spellbound. They embrace wholeheartedly the thinking, the reasoning, the ways, the doctrines, and the philosophies and the language and the methods, and the aspirations and the idols and pursuits of a world, of a society, of a culture that is atheistic in nature. But God has a remnant. God has a remnant who remain connected and linked in heart to God, who will not be moved. It is our desire to be a part of that remnant, that God would keep us faithful. Here we are in a society that absolutely despises God. We are a secular nation. We are a secular society. We are a pluralistic society and culture. But God has a remnant that has maintained a reverence for God, has a stirring in their heart and a passion for the Lord. And it ought to be our desire to be a part of that remnant. Not a part of the world. Not a part of the problem, but a part of God's remnant. Here we are surrounded by heathen worship, heathen images, heathen talk, godless, idolatrous, blasphemous, immoral, permissive, and a self-indulgent culture. But God has a remnant. God has a remnant who live above the norm of society, who live and are not blinded by the lies and the deceits of society. And it ought to be our desire and our longing to always be a part of that small remnant. And may I say that remnant is small. And it gets smaller. And though it is small, it's probably not as small as we think it is. We don't know. Just like Elijah. It's bigger than what we have here. Believe it or not, it's bigger than our fellowship of churches. It's a small remnant. But we shouldn't be all that concerned about the size of the remnant. Just thank God there is a remnant that is faithful to the Lord. Here we are, we live in a very corrupt society. It's twisted. It's a godless society and culture, filled with allurements and enticements to draw people into a godless society. But God has a people who will always remain separate, who will remain clean, who will remain holy, who will remain right and unshakable and valiant for God. And it ought to be our desire, it ought to be our longing. I want to be a part of that remnant. However long we are on this earth, or until Jesus comes, whatever comes first, It ought to be our desire to be a part of that remnant. We're in a society and culture that it's absolutely incompatible with God. Almost everything about our society and culture is incompatible with God. And it is in direct conflict with service to God. In direct conflict in the way to the ways and will of God. And runs counter to and challenges everything about our society today runs counter to and challenges commitment to God. True devotion to God. And loyalty to God. Service to God. Almost everything runs counter to what we ought to be for God. And there aren't many today. There aren't many that are truly committed, truly devoted, truly loyal to the Lord. But God does have a remnant who will remain loyal and committed and devoted to God. These people will remain committed no matter what happens. Terrible things can happen in their lives, and they remain committed to God. We've all known people. Something terrible happens in their life, and they get angry with God, and they never serve Him again. Now you would question, were they ever saved? That's not even an issue right now. But then there are other people who have had terrible things happen to them. And they're even more committed, more loyal, and more devoted. And God has a remnant like that. No matter what happens, this remnant remains faithful. They're not controlled by circumstances. Here we are in a cesspool of adultery, fornication. But God has a remnant. All sorts of immorality, all sorts of abomination. We live in a time where morality, people don't even know what morality is anymore. Their definition of morality is immoral. They don't even know what morality is. So we live in a time where chastity and honesty and integrity. I mean, if you have those things, if you're moral, if you're chaste, you're honest, you have integrity, you're an odd bird in today's society. God has a remnant. And as odd as they might seem, they still stand for morality. They still believe being chaste and having integrity and principle. You see, God has a remnant that live above what is defined as normal. God has a remnant. We ought to desire to be in that remnant. Here we are in what they call the Age of Reason. During the Age of Reason, of course, there was an explosion of discoveries and advances. And sadly, those have championed the widespread view that man's intellectual powers trump faith in God. But God has a remnant who still walk by faith. And are not governed by sight. And who still know we need God. Here we are in a time of self. People are absorbed with self. They glorify self. They gratify self. Self is esteemed. Self-will, self-seeking, self-righteousness. On and on we could go. But God has a remnant. We live beyond himself. God has a people who realize that life isn't about me. As a people who deny self. As a people who have a reverence and a passion and an excitement for the Lord. They always rise above self. Here we are in a time when the masses of those who profess God are more identified and in line with the world than they are Jesus Christ. That's true of the masses of so-called Christianity. Brother Hugin, the other night we were in Flat Rock, and he used the word Christendom, and he said, and I put the emphasis on dumb. I thought that was pretty good. But that's true. We have Christianity, so-called, is more in line with the world than Jesus Christ. But God has a remnant who still desire to pattern their life after Christ. They have no desire to pattern their life after the world. They desire to pattern their life after Christ, and they're rooted in Christ, and they cleave to Christ. It ought to be our desire to be a part of that remnant. We're in a time when many of God's people have bowed the knee to the Baals of today. They have accepted the doctrines of demons. They've been led astray by the Jezebels and the false religions of the Baals of our times. Torn down the altars of God in their life. And in place, they have the pillows of self-comfort, self-desire. God just wants me to be comfortable. Where do you find that in God's Word? It's not there. We're to be faithful. Comfort has nothing to do with it. We're to be faithful. We live in a time when God's people are influenced, they're governed, they're driven, they're shaped by the world. And they think anyone who isn't is out of touch and is odd. People are shaped by the Baal worship that's all around them. But God has a remnant. But that's not so. God has a remnant of faithful people who are fixed and firmly established for the Lord. We are in a time when most put the temporal ahead of the spiritual. Talking about God's people. Most of God's people, those who profess, will put the temporal ahead of the spiritual. And they are quite willing to settle on the wrong side of Jordan. But God has a remnant. God has a remnant who seek first the kingdom of God. We ought to desire to be a part of that remnant. He has a remnant who live in fellowship with Him, who walk in the light of His presence. A remnant who has daily communion with God. A remnant of people that are flourishing spiritually. Oh, they may not flourish financially, but they flourish spiritually. God has a remnant who live in peace and the joy and the power and the glory of the Lord. Who will not settle on the wrong side of the Jordan River. It is a remnant of people who get it. There aren't many who get it today. There aren't many today who really understand why they're here. I'm talking about God's people. But there is a remnant. God's always had a remnant. We get it. We're in a time of what Larry talked about this morning, of easy believism, universalism, religious entertainment, spiritual shallowness. Spiritual shallowness today is off the charts. I mean, people stand up and preach for 45 minutes and don't say a single thing. Word for it. Quasi-Christianity. But God has a remnant who are grounded in truth, who are striving to be even more grounded in truth, and without wavering, content with faith. And you think about this. Is God with the crowd or with the remnant? Who's He with? With the remnant. Oh, how we ought to long to be a part of that remnant. Again, read verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. Notice, it was God. I have left me 7,000. I've kept them faithful. I kept them faithful. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal. Elijah thought he was the only one. And every mouth such hath not kissed him. Oh, how we ought to long to always be a part of that remnant. Also, we ought to appreciate. We ought to pray for God's remnant. You don't have to know someone to appreciate them. We know this fact. God has a remnant. Scattered all over the world. As salt. Like God just is salt all over the world. We ought to appreciate anyone who stands for truth. Appreciate the fact that God has a remnant. Pray for him. You don't have to know someone's name to pray for him. Pray for God's remnant. Wherever they are. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. If there ever was a time when we ought to be praying for one another and ought to be praying for the remnant of the faithful, it's today. And lastly, always remember, there are others. There are others who are standing, doing faith. Oh, we might be by ourselves in our corner of the world at times. That ought to strengthen us. But we're never the only one. God always has others who are facing the same things that we are. And who at times, I'm sure, like Elijah and like ourselves, think we're the only ones. But we're not. Because God is faithful. God keeps a people faithful. And knowing that we're not the only ones, we're not the only ones left, should cause us to stay the course and not despair. Don't despair. Keep your eye on God. God has a faithful. I find it very encouraging that God has a faithful remnant. In all parts of the United States, God has remnants that have never bowed the knee to Baal. And they're not going to. They're going to remain. As bad as things are, and as bad as things may yet become, there is a holy remnant. A remnant of people that God is set apart. So I take heart in these days of increasing apostasy and heresy and blasphemy and knowing God has a people. As a people scattered all around the world, and they continue to be faithful to God. I know a lot of individuals, I don't know them that well personally. I guess it would be more accurate to say I know of them. And it's encouraging. It's encouraging just to know of people that are standing. And we all have that. But it ought to be our desire to be a part of that remnant. Many here are a part of that remnant. Most people in this building tonight are part of that remnant. Need to pray for one another. God would keep us strong. God would keep us faithful. Is God's remnant perfect? No. Far from it. But I tell you what, I'd rather be identified with God's remnant than the world. Any day. Again, who's God with? Is it with the crowd? With his remnant. With his remnant. Thank God. I thank God for each one who's here tonight, faithful. Some have had trials in their lives. We all have. But they remain faithful. True. Through the years, they've remained faithful and true. We thank God. His remnant. Thank God for that. So do pray for one another. God would help us. God would help us to not be ashamed to identify with one another. Do we agree with every single person that's in the remnant? Of course not. But we better not put ourselves in such a tiny box. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That we're the only one. Because that's not so. God has a remnant. Thank God. He has a remnant of people. And thank God that you and I know people in that remnant. And that we spend time with people in that remnant, one another. God's good. God's good to us. Because any one of us left to ourselves would bow to Baal. But God's been faithful and has kept us faithful. Little Larry, if you come and raise the first song.